Episode 2.5, Coming to Light. We arrive in front of a familiar house. It's the house I lived in with Ben when I was held captive in that skewed reality. Yeah. Memories flood my mind, not only about the night that Max brought us back in time, but also memories of another life, a life I don't remember living, Ash's life.
I know this place, Ben. I believe we lived here.
Inside, Ben opens the fridge and helps himself to a bottle of water.
Oh, remember living here?
A vague memory. But this house has awakened something else inside of me. Not sure what yet.
Everything from the smells to the sounds of the appliances calls to my mind.
I see. You will get some of those memories back, I assume. Ugh. In the meantime, you should shower. You stink.
With Ben's not-so-subtle reminder, I retreat to the master bathroom and cleanse myself of the insanity I've built up inside and the stench of a lost time which coats my skin. Memories of what I've seen cement permanently to my thoughts. Death, war, time travel, everything all over again. No matter how hard I scrub, I can't cleanse my psyche. After the shower, I search through the closet, admiring the clothing which used to fit my build so many lifetimes ago. I toss the clothes on the bed and dress in a t-shirt and jeans from Ben's wardrobe.
Hey, if you're almost done, we gotta get going.
Almost. I sit on the edge of my bed, tying my shoes. He picks up Ash's shirt from the bed.
How are you feeling?
I shrug. He tosses the shirt to the bed.
I don't know what's happened to you since the last time I saw you, but I can assume it wasn't good. Considering you're Audie now. You need to talk about it?
I stand and wiggle my feet in the foreign shoes.
Nope.
I kick them off and change back into my combat boots. Ben picks up the rejected shoes.
What's the matter? Not your brand?
I smirk.
From what you've told me, it's not going to be a walk in the park, but a combat zone.
I grab my knapsack and begin searching the house for usable survival tools. He follows me.
Well, I guess we can move on to the mission.
He thinks a moment.
You are Audie, yet you harbor Abby's memories.
Yep.
You really only remember Abby's life.
Yep. I grab a flashlight and click it on to make sure it works. The light shines on a picture hanging on the wall. A picture of Ash and Ben at the beach. I don't remember taking that picture, but I've obviously been there.
Okay.
Ben continues.
I know why you don't remember Audie's life. I did some snooping around and found that Audie never absorbed his cube. Audie's cube is missing.
And so is Abby's cube.
Really? We have to get it before they do.
I tap my foot.
Why is the cube so important?
Because...
He begins programming his Imani.
That cube holds a piece of the innards.
What the hell is an innards?
I've heard that word before. Years ago at Palmer's Carnival. From Madame Xylia.
The innards. It's the life force, or energy, which keeps all living things alive. Everything has an innards. Bugs, animals, humans. The bigger the being, the more life force is needed to bring it to life.
Oh, like a soul? I ask, fascinated by the subject.
Well, yes, basically. The most powerful energies hail from a planet called Hedic. Hedic is the oldest planet in the universe, and the planet from which all civilized planets are modeled. The planet, and the universe for that matter, is run by a group called the Octad, the 8 most ancient beings in the universe.
So there really are aliens involved?
Well, yes.
I thought Max was just blowing steam out of his ass.
There are aliens involved, and they're not happy.
Why?
Because it was foretold that a powerful energy would emerge, striking the Octet out of power. The prediction was true, and that baby was indeed born. Instead of eliminating the child, the Octet took in the baby and had it trained to suit their needs. Once grown, she could think for herself. She didn't appreciate being used for the Octet's bidding, so she rebelled against their plan. Not a good idea. As punishment for the rebellion, the Octad captured her and seized a piece of her energy. They stole just enough of her energy to bring her down to the same power level of the normal Hedwin populace, and sent her to school. With me. One of the normies. Well, anyway, that's where I met her. Long story short, she ran away to Earth and the Octad found her. Instead of dragging her back to Hedic, they planted her energy in the ground to root and grow into a tree.
Hold on a second. How is this even possible?
Because the very nature of Zugru Wood is to absorb energy. They simply attained her energy by absorbing it into the wood. Now, normally, one cannot touch Zuru wood, but the Octad seems to have mastered this deadly wood. They use the wood to grab her energy and bury it in the soil on Earth. Planting Zuru wood, under the right circumstances, will grow a full tree if someone's energy is absorbed into the wood when planted. The shell and the innards therein will attach to the tree until the tree matures. Ash was trapped on Earth until her tree was mature enough to release her innards to her.
The tree I see in my dreams. Whoa, this crazy experience is beginning to make sense.
You dream of the Zuguru tree?
Only since birth. He seems surprised.
Interesting. They wanted to trap Ash for eternity, but...
He stops talking, though he hasn't finished talking. I want more answers. So what does this have to do with me?
You haven't figured it out yet?
What? I mull my memories a moment.
I don't know if I should tell you this.
Now I feel guilty for asking.
Okay, well, the reason you dream of this tree is because your energy is trapped as well. In fact, you now hold the majority of the remaining energy. I mean, outside of the tree. Ash designed it that way. So you would be trapped on Earth instead of her.
Why? Ben's thoughtful eyes helped to tell the next part.
Audie and Abby are clones. They were constructed in a lab for the purpose of freeing Ash from her prison on Earth. Using the cloning technique perfected by my daughter Katie.
He smiles proudly.
Ash wanted two females, got a boy and a girl by mistake. She was so mad about the baby's penis, she almost made us reclone Audie for another female. I convinced her she didn't have a choice and we didn't have the material. So she was stuck with you. Sorry, Audie.
No sweat, I'm half enjoying the sex change.
Anyhow, Ash placed the babies on Earth with parents of stillborn children. She used your bodies to hold the innards like a safety deposit box. The problem with that? The clones' shells are weaker. So, the energy had to be introduced slowly into the weaker shells. And that's where the cubes come in. If the energy is introduced into a weak shell all at once, it can cause the shell to incinerate, which is what happens when you touch a Zuguru tree. Meanwhile, you're stuck here, and Ash is free to roam about the universe, doing whatever the hell she pleases.
You mean I'm stuck here because of some recklessly made-up plan by Ash?
Well, no, technically Abby's supposed to be stuck here in the future. I've positioned us in the past. I mean, compared to Abby in the future, so that we could do this plan. But we have a problem.
He looks me in the eyes.
Because the clones never absorbed their cubes, and the Nazis burned Abby's shell, disrupting Ash's plan.
He digs around in his brain, trying to find a reason for the problem.
I don't fully understand the whole plan, but I know Ash didn't want Abby to die while Audie was alive.
He quickly wraps up his sentence like he's avoiding something. I'll ignore what he didn't say and focus on what he did say. Wait, I was supposed to use the cube your dupe stole?
Well, yes.
Can the dupe absorb the energy? I ask nervously.
No, it's impossible for just anyone to absorb it. No one can absorb the cube but you. It's a useless death trap for anyone else. If the dupe took it, he took it for the Octad.
He thinks as he leaves the room.
I don't know if you can leave Earth, but we're gonna try.
Great. We head to the backyard where Ben searches the sky for something. So where are we going, Headache? I ask, but can't wait for an answer. The prospect of space travel spools my thoughts with joy. He presses a button on his E-Manny. After a moment, a group of lights appear out of thin air, hovering silently with no hint of what the lights are attached to. Whoa, that was sweet. The disc-shaped lights flash and reflect a chrome exterior. The skin of the ship reveals itself.
Let's go!
Ben boards the ship's illuminated ramp. I hustle with anticipation to the ship.
Woohoo!
The ship's loading deck divides up into hallways with a central support structure, spiraled with a staircase. Down various hallways are compartmented rooms, bedrooms, a galley, even a gym on board. It's much larger than expected. The ship is built for long-term travel, like a gigantic round RV in the sky. The only difference from that of Earth's tastes and the comforts aboard this ship, linguistics. All labels, signs, doors, and levers are written in strange symbolic figures. Up the spiral staircase is the captain's look, the cockpit. Two large comfortable chairs sit in the middle of the room in front of a lit-up dashboard. How in the hell does this thing work? I plop down into one of the chairs. Ben sits in the other chair.
Aw, it's simple, really.
He begins pressing different symbols to start the ship. He enters a sequence, and the walls of the ship become invisible, projecting our surroundings like video screens. We're floating in a bubble. A glass stick arises from the dashboard, and Ben grabs a hold. As he toggles the stick, the ship vibrates briefly, shooting into the sky, launching from the atmosphere in a blur. With no difference in gravity or cabin pressure, it feels like we'd never left the ground. The outer world disappears, transforming into the vast emptiness of space. Once we leave the solar system, things slow down. Without us changing speed, the distance between us and everything else gives us the illusion of a slowed acceleration. It's hypnotic, watching the stars while speeding tenaciously among them. As the infinity of space takes my thoughts away, I wonder how much truth I lack. What don't I know, and why? Ben offers me a bottle of water.
So, you wanna talk?
I take the bottle of water. Thanks. The label is written in the symbols which are all over the ship. I use this to avoid the question and redirect him. What are all these symbols? He points to the symbols.
Water. It's written in Zephyros. Hedic's main language.
Well, that's lovely, but why am I here? I don't know how to feel about this situation. Aliens, space, time travel. This nonsense all feels like another wacky dream.
You'll have to find your cubes so the Octet doesn't find them first.
He changes the subject.
You'll love this part. These ships have the ability to open up portals, traveling farther and faster than the human mind can comprehend.
The ship revs louder, and a bright streak of lightning sparks across the field of our vision. A rip through space opens up in front of the ship, exposing a new area of the universe. As we fly into the portal, it seals closed behind us.
Impressive.
I hate to admit it, but I'm actually having fun. Yeah, but more so, I'm having trouble trusting the situation. Ben's demeanor changes to cocky.
I actually helped design this specific bottle of ship.
Impressive yet again, sir.
I want to bring the subject back to the destination.
Where are we going? We're going to see the only one who can help us.
He refuses to give more information, aggravating my distrust for him. After some time traveling through space, we arrive at a black hole. The massiveness of the black hole is apparent, even with the distance between us and it. My imagination runs wild with the images of us being sucked into the black hole, shredded into billions of microscopic particles.
Woo!
My pulse races.
Ben, don't you see that giant black hole in front of us? Ah!
Oh no, we're gonna die!
He screams and frantically waves his arms.
Ah, we're gonna be torn into shreds!
His attitude fails to tickle my amusement.
There's no need to be an asshole about it. We are heading into a black hole after all.
I cross my arms at him. He bows his head.
I'm sorry, I forgot you spent your life trapped in the dead zone.
He looks over his eyes and waggles his eyebrows.
Now, watch this maneuver.
He types something into his computer and a light shines into the black hole. The hole appears to morph and warp, developing into a wormhole.
That was sweet.
I give him two thumbs up. He returns my thumbs up.
And ta-da! We have a shortcut.
We pick up speed and fly directly into the shortcut. The hole distorts and disfigures everything, bubbling and rolling the lines of reality, swirling the notion of solid form. While submerged in the hole, there's only a mere suggestion of reality and no way of telling where to go next. The only way to find our target is by using something resembling an artificial horizon over a lit globe of stars. Ben explains the black hole.
Black hole distorts the visual of the galaxy, creating a cloak for the wormhole leading to the oldest galaxy and solar system in the universe. Don't worry, the distortion will clear up soon when we enter Juno Galaxy, where it all began.
In a flash of light, we enter a bustling galaxy full of flying vehicles and strange signs written in Zephyros. As we reach the other side of the galaxy, there's a small solar system orbiting a blue star. Ben updates me.
This is the oldest solar system in the universe. The cobalt sun's a little hotter than Earth's sun.
He nudges me.
So hope you brought your 1000 SPF sunscreen.
He laughs at his own dumb joke.
Aqueous, the planet we are heading to, was formed around the same time as Earth. Except Aqueous has already reached enlightenment.
What's enlightenment?
That sounds really deep.
Enlightenment is when a planet's inhabitants have reached a full inner and outer peace. They detest violence, and they have the ability to contribute to the universal cause. The reward for enlightenment is access to ancient secrets shared only with other enlightened planets. But unfortunately for Earth, they still haven't settled down enough to trust with such records.
He's right, but he didn't have to be so blunt. Sounds like Earth has a bad reputation in the rest of the universe.